we turn, first of all, as we turn to the Word of God, to Psalm 37. I'll read the first 11 verses there. And then we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Just one little text there, and I do believe there will be it'll be on the screen as well. Yep. So Matthew 5, verse 5. As we continue on in our series on the Beatitudes, we look at the Beatitudes. In the Old Testament, God gave His law through Moses at Mount Sinai, and that law gets updated, it gets transformed, it gets fulfilled when Jesus gives His law on the Mount, in His Sermon on the Mount. And so the Beatitude sets the context to His Sermon on the Mount. It talks about the grace that God gives to His people in the midst of the struggles that they face. And so we deal, first of all, from Psalm 37, that's page 874 in your pew Bible. I'll read the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. And then we look at Matthew 5, verse 5, that's page 1501 in your pew Bible as well. Psalm 37. And I'll read the passages and I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds, saying, thanks be to God. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more, though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Then we turn to the New Testament, to Matthew 5, verse 5. I'll read that third beatitude there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This is the word of the Lord. May God add His blessing to His word tonight. Your congregation for Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we look at then the third beatitude of Jesus, Jesus' third beatitude in His Sermon on the Mount. As we read up there in the screen, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Okay, so I guess the first thing we need to determine is what exactly a meek person is. Jesus says, blessed are the meek. What exactly is a meek person? What does that term mean? Isn't it something of a negative term? Some people do use the term negatively. Some people take meekness to mean weakness or spineless. If you're meek, that means you don't have any backbone. You can't stand up for yourself. You got no guts. And so if you're meek in that sense, people say, ah, you're so meek, right? It's interesting that that is one of the definitions my dictionary gives for that word. But meekness isn't always used in that negative sense. It can also be used positively, and it is that positive connotation that Jesus is after in our text. What does it mean to be meek positively then? Well, according to Scripture, a meek person is a person who is patient, he's gentle, he's free from malice, and has no desire to take revenge. Someone will do you wrong, let's say, but your reaction is not anger or revenge. No, but patience and a willingness to suffer at least a little bit in order to make things right. A person who is meek is a person who has a humble, gentle attitude, which expresses itself in patient submission in the face of offense. Or to put it this way, a meek person is a person who would rather suffer than hurt somebody else needlessly. That's a meek person. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Congregation, I want to point out that this is one of those Beatitudes that has a very strong Old Testament foundation to it. What do I mean? Well, where do you think Jesus got the basic substance for this particular Beatitude from? He didn't make it up. No, he got this one really from the Old Testament. Now, Jesus doesn't quote some existing Old Testament beatitude. He doesn't do that, no. It's not like Matthew 5, verse 5 is found word for word in the Old Testament somewhere else. It's not like that. But what Jesus does do is he takes an important concept in the Old Testament and then he turns it or he transforms it into an actual beatitude. So I'll show you what I mean. This is what Psalm 37, verse 11 says. Psalm 37, 11 says, The meek, will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Notice the two basic components in that text. Psalm 37, 11 talks about the meek and the blessing that they will have. They will inherit the land. And so it's in his Sermon on the Mount that Jesus, he takes that from Psalm 37 and he turns it into his own beatitude. Says our Lord, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Congregation, since Jesus' beatitude finds its origin and its roots really in Psalm 37, maybe it would be helpful if we consider how Psalm 37 basically describes the meek person then. Who really is the meek person according to Psalm 37? It's the person who refuses to sin in the midst of evil people. He refuses to sin in the midst of temptation and even persecution. Here, let me read a little bit of Psalm 37, starting at verse 7. Says the psalmist there, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. You see what he's saying? He's saying, don't sin. Don't do as they do, for, to quote verse 9 now, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. See the blessing the psalmist promises there. So those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So that's the meek person then. It's the person who refuses to sin. He refuses to take revenge. He refuses to be resentful. But instead, he puts his hope in the Lord and walks in the way of righteousness. Says verses 10 and 11, a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. That's what Psalm 37 says. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus turns all of this into a single important beatitude, says our Lord. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Interesting now, the blessing the meek are promised to receive, says Jesus on the basis of Psalm 37, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Interesting blessing that the meek receive here. Congregation, why are the meek promised that? Why are they not promised something else? Why doesn't the Beatitude say, blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Or, blessed are the meek, for they will be comforted. Or, blessed are the meek, for they will be filled. Or whatever. Why do the meek inherit the earth? Why that blessing? Good question. And to answer that, maybe we should consider the meek a little bit more, or better yet, maybe we should consider the opposite of the meek. If the meek are those who are patient, who are gentle, who refuse to sin, who then are those who are not meek? Well, it's those who are impatient, who push their own agenda, they push their own way, and they're not gentle. They're willing to do anything to get what they want. And so they are self-serving. If anything, they're greedy. They're going to go after what they want, and they'll do anything to get it. Jesus is saying in Matthew 5, verse 5, on the basis of Psalm 37, that such people, in the end, guess what? They don't get anything. They get diddly. They get nothing. But the meek, those who don't push their own way, those who are careful and gentle, they get everything. And I mean everything. They get the whole earth. This corresponds with what Jesus says elsewhere in passages like Matthew 19, verse 30, and Matthew 20, verse 16, where Jesus says, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Yes, sometimes the meek don't look like they get much, if anything at all, but in the end, they do. They get it all. They get the whole earth. They get it. They will get it. Maybe not right away, but they will. That's the way it always goes. And so I think of Father Abraham. You go way back into the Old Testament, we get to Father Abraham. Father Abraham is overall a very meek person, as far as that goes. Abraham and Lot, they arrive in the promised land, right? And after a while, the servants of Abraham and the servants of Lot, they don't get along very well. And so Abraham and Lot decide to separate. Maybe you remember this story. In Genesis 13, Abraham says to Lot, Lot, you look over the land, and you choose what you think is a good place for you to live, and I'll just live somewhere else in Canaan. So Lot does that. But notice, though, Lot is not exactly very meek. He will grab and push what he will. He sees this nice, lush, green area over there, and so he says to Abraham, Abraham, how about I take that region over there? And Abraham accepts Lot's proposal. He's not going to fight with Lot. He's not going to push his own agenda. He's patient, he's gentle, he's meek, even though what Abram gets is not exactly nice, to say the least. But what happens next? What happens? As soon as Abram and Lot part company, the Lord comes and he has a word with Abraham. And the Lord says to Abram, Abram, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north, south, east, and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. That's what God says to Abram in Genesis 13, verse 14. Yep, the first will be last, and the last will be first. That idea is behind Psalm 37, incidentally. The wicked, they always are first in line. They don't get anything in the end. No, they lose it all. But the righteous, the meek, the ones last in the line, they will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Interesting how Jesus widens this. Jesus widens things up here a little bit. In Genesis, God promised Abraham the land. And so the meek, they will inherit the land. That is the land of Canaan. That's what God promised them. That's what God promised Abraham in the book of Genesis. It's this idea that's carried on as well in Psalm 37. The meek, sure, they will inherit the land of Canaan. That's what the psalmist says. They will inherit the land along with the produce and the fruits and the harvest and the milk and the honey and the gold, but all of that only in the land of Canaan. But notice what Jesus does in his Sermon on the Mount. He widens it. Jesus doesn't say, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land of Canaan," like Psalm 37 understands it. No, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That's what we get. We get the whole business now. We get all the lands, all the harvests, all the milk, and all the honey everywhere. That's what the meek ultimately receive. Did you know that? Canaan of the Old Testament is really only a piece of the whole pie that God's people will ultimately receive. In Christ, the meek inherit the earth. We get the whole shebang. In the end, we get the whole kettle to boodle. And we, in the end, we get all nine yards. We get it all. We get all things. All things. That's what we get in the new heavens and the new earth. The rest of the New Testament only confirms this. I think of Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31, Paul says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Paul doesn't say God will give us just some things, like some nice spiritual things or whatever. Paul doesn't say that God will give us just the things of the land of Canaan. No, he says God will give us all things, period. And so that's what we get. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That explains Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, we're talking the end of the Bible here. In Revelation 21, we see a picture of all things being given to God's people. The heavenly Jerusalem will come down out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband, and it comes upon the earth. And the whole thing belongs to God and his people, the meek, forever. Praise his name. That's what we get. Wow. And so there's an implied calling, of course, in all of this, don't you think? Sure there is. There's a calling for us to practice meekness. Believers are called to be meek. You know, in each of the Beatitudes, there is some kind of a calling, right? In each Beatitude, Jesus calls us to something. Although, it must also be said that calling is more pronounced in one beatitude than another. In the first beatitude, for example, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In a sense, there is a calling there for us to practice being poor in spirit. We're called to that. But on the other hand, for those who are already poor in spirit, they hardly need to be told to do more of it. My point is, not all beatitudes are the same. In one, the call to practice something is more pronounced than in another. In the third beatitude, there is a clear call to us. Members of Calvin Christian Reformed Church, young people, we are called to be meek. We're not to be pushy. We are not arrogant. We're not to do things in a worldly or a unkind or a mean-spirited, tricky kind of a way. I'm not saying that we need to be spineless. I'm not saying we're called to be wimps. We're not wimps. But we are called to be patient. We are called to be loving. We are to behave this way in our families, with our children, with our siblings, with our parents. We are to behave this way in our businesses. We are to behave this way with our employees, with our customers. We're meek. We are to behave this way in the church of Jesus Christ. We are to behave this way in politics too. We're called to be meek. This is the way to live. Like Jesus was. You know, it's interesting. In the wilderness, when Jesus was tempted for 40 days, Satan said to him, "Jesus, how about you just bow down to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world." Jesus said, no way. That's not the way to do things. Not me. Jesus had a calling to fulfill. Jesus had a cross to carry to fulfill righteousness. Jesus would be ridiculed. He would be hurt. He would be persecuted so that salvation might be won for us. So we're called to bear that cross too. Our first obligation is to serve God and to serve our neighbor. It's to love God and to love our neighbor. Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So may we heed our calling. May we remember Jesus' promise. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Amen.